my goodness, welcome to Broken Shovel, Homesteading for a Sustainable Future. Date of release is going to be April 30th. That is Tuesday, the last day of April. And today on the episode, we are talking about foraging in central Vermont. If you'd like to reach or find the show, you can find us on Reddit at r/BrokenShovel802. And if you'd like to email us a note, BrokenShovel802@gmail.com. My name is Lucas, and I am joined, as always, by my friend and co-host,
Eric, who's embarrassed by Lucas's attempt for Southern twang.
I could do it. I didn't really mean to do it, is the problem. Like, I just sort of was like, ah, no, I sound like an idiot. What do I do now? So, hi. Hello. It is a gorgeous morning here.
Yes, now that the rain has passed, it is gorgeous out. It sucks for me because one of my projects is moving sand out of my sandbox to clear the area for the new coop, because it's like I want to put it in a spot that, like, they're not going to kill the grass. So, like, what better spot than a spot that doesn't already have grass? But I have to move all the sand down from there to my sandbox out of the sandbox to the garden, because that's where I want to put a lot of it to, like, work on my carrots, my radishes and stuff, for better drainage and all that good stuff, because my soil is very clayey and it did not drain well at all last year. So besides getting it leveled up, tilted, and really sandy so it drains. But the rain, like, I did about 10 loads in the wheelbarrow out of there and then across my yard to the garden. And I am like, my arms are just kind of like, no, you're not doing that today. And then the rain really doesn't help, because it's like really heavy sand, which makes it even worse.
How much sand is left?
I went overboard with my kid's sandbox. It's about a 12x12 area.
Oh, wow.
And I've probably done between a third and a quarter so far.
Yeah. And you don't want to leave any sand for the birds?
No, I'm going to leave some sand, but I really want to get, like, as much as possible. So I'm just kind of the point where, like, we were talking about before the episode of if I can pull off getting a tractor this spring, because I could rent one and get it done in a weekend, but that also requires, like, getting one, and because everyone's renting them right now because it's... Yeah. Project season.
That makes it particularly hard.
Yeah, so I'm eyeballing maybe getting a tractor, but I mean, I could financially pull it off, especially if I do my moonlighting ideas. But it'd also be like I'd have to sacrifice my free time, which sounds like a horrible idea.
Well, you know, it'll come together. I think it'll make a good homesteading segment, actually, at some point, sort of that decision-making process for a big financial purchase like that. I think that would be something to really sort of play with and think about. And
It would be. Because it takes a lot of planning, and I have the benefit of the ability and knowledge to do these moonlighting projects that I'm thinking about, because for work, we have a huge backlog of the conduit work for people to get their internet installed, and it's just low-hanging fruit for moonlighting and making easy money if you have the equipment.
Yeah, and, you know, and actually this, we should think about this in the next few weeks, because Meg and I have been looking at some grants for high tunnels, which are reimbursement grants, which means you have to put the money out there first. And the project has to be completed before you can be reimbursed for any of it. So that's that is a big deal. So we're going to start looking into that process for 2025, I think.
Let's hit our topic, and then we'll circle back around to on the homestead.
Yes, sir. So, if you are a forager, we are going to be pretty much talking about central Vermont. This can sort of broadcast across New England, most of New England, but I am going to speak from my experience. It is important for us to say up front that if you are not an expert do not just pick something and eat it. One of the best things that you can do is become part of a foragers group. There are tons of them. Mm-hmm. They are not hard to find on Facebook or Reddit or any of this stuff. And they do meetups and they get together and people will help you learn how to identify hands-on.
And there's YouTube, also libraries are good.
Libraries. Yeah. Don't trust everything you find online. There are apps too, but they come with their own issues in utilizing AI.
And we should do a home. We've talked about doing a home studying in AI before, or AI and the modern era of things, because the AI is bad about misidentifying things because so many plants look similar. I have a beautiful patch of Queen Anne's lace growing on the backside of my property, but it, when early on before it blossoms, it looks very, very similar to wild Charoville, which is a very bad invasive.
Yes. Yeah. So why don't we start with the most fun one, I think. Most challenging one for me anyway, is mushrooms.
Yes.
We really have three primary mushrooms that are edible in the area, in my opinion. There are actually four, I guess, in the area. And that is morel mushrooms, which does have a false version, a false morel. Chanterelles, which also has a false version.
Yep.
Oyster mushrooms and hen of the woods. Oyster mushrooms can be misidentified by other as other mushrooms at different stages in their growth. Hen of the woods is pretty distinct. You're not going to see much like that. So morel mushroom season is about to hit. Especially today, it's like I can feel them popping up after that rain, and it's gonna like just warm up almost 20 more degrees today. It's just this like tremendous feeling that, oh, we got to start checking our spots. Have you seen, Eric, these advertisements for these glasses that are supposed to help you identify mushrooms?
No, but I'm immediately calling bullshit on them.
Yeah, they're basically like a yellow filter, I think. They're like $300. And to me, it's something that like takes the fun out of, you know, the whole hunting process.
Yeah, because... but it's also like, it feels like because there's such subtleties between what would be a good one and a bad one, that having something like that would potentially cause you to, like, because, like, hey, I got these glasses, and it says this is okay, and it's like, no, you just picked up a false morel there, buddy.
Right. It's just because it turns a certain color under these glasses, it's supposed to make this whole experience a lot better. And I just learned this. Black flies, when they start to show up, that's morels. That's the same time. Same exact time. That's that sort of natural synergy. So that is one of those really good indicators out there. And we'll get into another interesting indicator when we get to ramps. but yeah, you're not much for the foraging, right? You don't eat mushrooms. You don't.
No, I don't eat mushrooms. I don't eat fiddleheads. I will. If anybody comes after my fiddleheads, I will beat them because I love my ferns.
Yes. Ferns are very good.
Ferns are very good. They're great cover. They are great for the critters around, and they just look gorgeous. And I have two huge fern patches. One is, I have at least two, if not three, varieties of fern growing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it's just a nice big patch. But if I really wanted to, I could probably go out there right now and just start getting fiddleheads easily and selling them down at the co-op or something.
Yeah, there's so many right now, especially after a day like we're experiencing this Sunday.
Yep.
Mushroom hunting is such a fun experience. I don't eat mushrooms really. I do like oysters, but morels and chanterelles, not so much. We do celibate markets when we're there, and we have access. I'd have to go back through my pictures, but I think there was some instances last year where we came back with like 10 pounds of chanterelles, and it was really something. Like after the floods last year, the mushrooms were just exceptional. Same thing happened after Irene, is my understanding. The mushrooms were just exceptional, and even some varieties you don't usually see in this area were coming out. It's a really great experience, and something I'm going to say now is going to be, we're going to say it for every single category of foraging. I am so tired. You don't take everything when you find a patch. Mm-hmm. Don't take every single mushroom. You have to leave, and this goes back to your 30-30-30. Too, like these, there's portions of nature that rely on these. They, you know, not just animals, but these are great for decomposition of other plant matter, which is important to the health of the forest. And they won't propagate if they are completely wiped out in an area.
Yep, and unfortunately, like there's a subset of foragers that come up here from south of us and have been caught like just destroying areas, pulling everything out. And it's just like every time, and you always hear about them around this time of year of like, oh yeah, we caught this person from Connecticut that just like literally cut down every fiddlehead in this like 10 square foot area. And it's just like, no, like do not come here. Do not do that. And also, do not do that and then go down south and profit off of foraging off of our land.
Yeah, it's a big no-no. My spots are, you know, mine and Megan's spots are secret. We don't tell anybody about them. Nobody knows where they are. And if we happen to be, you know, heading back towards a road or a trail and somebody is around, we will hide. We take it so seriously that we don't want somebody, you know, and frankly, I will lie to somebody and tell them where I found my mushrooms if they ask, you know.
That just reminds me of the Bob's Burger episode with the Willy
Blue. With the mushrooms. Yeah. That episode was really did resonate with me. So, but yeah, we take it very seriously, and this goes for all things, you know, and we've mentioned ramps. Ramps are, they're strong. You know, you can make like a really nice ramp butter, and you know, if you make like naan or something, it's really good on naan and things like that. And people will just buy up ramp butter like crazy. You grind that up, you mix it with some butter, you put it in a Tupperware, or, you know, a plastic container, and people will buy that shit. Ramps. So what I just learned is that ramps what is it called? Swamp cabbage. Mm-hmm. Those are in concert of each other. So the swamp cabbage is in some place that's a lot more damp than the ramps are. Ramps are generally up on a hillside. So before going up the hillside to look for the ramps, you can identify swamp cabbage in the lower down drained off area. And that's a really strong indicator that you're going to find some ramps. So, which is something I'm trying to rearrange our land to encourage. So, because I bought the only cleared lot in all of Vermont.
It's embarrassing how many cleared lots there are. Like, and it's ironic that we have laws against clear cutting, and then you see how much clear cutting is going on right now.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. It's really disgusting, and it's ruining ruining habitats. It's ruining foraging, and it's all for the sake of quick profits off of lumber.
Yep. Yeah. I'm so excited. I love planting trees, and you know, this the like fifth to sixth year is our year where we're really, you know, we're going to cut down a bunch of trees. And I think I've been talking about this like every episode this spring, but cut down a bunch of trees to be able to encourage other plants and that will include morel mushrooms and chanterelle mushrooms. We
will. Yeah,
we
both have plans for some cutting in our woods because, like, I want to get rid of some of the pine that's out there because, I mean, pine, it's beautiful pine, but nothing else grows in that grove.
Right. And if you're not sugaring, really, a pine forest isn't really much good for you for firewood. So, what do you want to talk about next? Berries or greens?
I mean, we've already touched on greens because we touched on, like, fiddleheads. But we also, I mean, there's others like, I don't know, I got to figure out when watercress comes in.
Watercress should
usually mid
be
late summer, right?
Mid to late summer.
Mid to late summer.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, though, for greens is dandelions. And dandelions are really, nose to tail sort of plant. They are not they are technically invasive, but they're not bad for the environment. They partner right with the same invasive bee, which is great for pollinating. But you can pluck the petals off, and you can make wine. You can make dandelion honey, which a mutual friend of ours makes, which is like a jam. It's not really honey. You can eat the greens. The leaves are amazing in salads. It's a wonderful bitter green. And then the roots, when dried, make a wonderful tea. So it's really one of those, like I said, nose to tail sort of plants. You can use the whole thing when you pull them out. If they're choking out other plants, sure, go ahead and dig them up. But you can use that whole plant. It doesn't have to just get, you know, thrown in away.
Yep.
But yeah, nettle tops, fiddleheads, dandelion greens. There's a lot of preparation techniques that go to making them the best. And, you know, that's more of like a YouTube series. You got to see that thing, right? And we're not really talking about that. But yeah, greens, they're everywhere. And again, this is important. Identify properly.
Yes.
Learn from an expert. I spend most of my time with Meg, obviously, who I consider to be an expert, but even she has people that she considers more of an expert that she is still learning from. So this, just be safe. Don't make yourself sick. Don't make anybody else sick. The elderly and children are quite susceptible to these kinds of things.
Yeah, you'll always hear a story about somebody that came up to Vermont to forage mushrooms and then proceeded to have their liver fail, because that's what the bad mushrooms do, is they cause your liver to fail or your kidneys to fail.
Yeah, people, it's something very easy to misidentify as fly agaric, which can be used as a hallucinogen, a mild hallucinogen, and people can, you're going to kill yourself. Just don't. Just don't. Berries, they're not in season yet, but they're coming. Strawberries.
Strawberries are coming. My blackberry bushes look great right now.
My wild grapes look amazing. And, like, you know, that whole backfield of ours is just wild strawberries. And just absolutely amazing. Dusty loves it. He goes out there and he picks them right off.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the last year the voles did a number to the root systems on my wild strawberries, because right outside my big picture window, the whole hilltop there is just all wild strawberries.
Nice. Yeah, I love it. I don't know what else. Raspberries, blueberries. I get some wild blueberries.
We have strawberry season comes before blueberry season.
Yes, it does. But and it's not really that season for anything anyway. We could do a whole episode on berries.
We could do yes, because there's so many berries out there.
Yeah, and they're so great for wildlife. We talk about this all the time. Trap crops to keep. You want a bear to stay away from your property? Put a blueberry bush way out at the corner that can just grow wild, and they will never think about coming over to you. They don't want to eat your trash if they've got fresh native.
Yeah, they want. They're more herbivores than carnivores. I mean, yeah, they'll eat meat, but they will just chow down on berries all day long.
Yeah, and when they're hungry, they're opportunists.
I have the unfortunate that I figured out. We may have figured out what was getting my chickens.
Oh yeah,
a fox, and a big one at that.
Yeah, that seems likely.
And like, so one of my, I was talking to my neighbor across the street yesterday, and then she said the neighbor up the hill that has ducks, that he took a pop shot at the fox because it was sitting there waiting for him to open the duck coop to let the ducks out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So this fox is getting bold too.
We just
like,
found...
it killed one of my chickens, like right in my driveway, right in the middle of like, I had in between me getting in the shower and then going out to brush my teeth, it killed my chickens in the yard.
Jesus. Yeah, I've got a couple of spots where I am going to be putting the trail camera. We spotted what is, you know, potentially like a foxhole not too far from where the coop is going to be. So we're going to start making plans there and figuring out what we're doing. And that's another one of those things. We talk about this all the time. Preparation.
Yep.
Preparation, mitigation. These are things that you can do, you know, and lesson learned on Eric's side. And I am learning from Eric, and I hope you're learning from him too, because it's important.
Especially this time of year is the worst. I mean, early spring and early fall are actually no more like late fall, because when everything's getting ready to go to hibernation, it's those two times a year are the worst. Because there's so much predation going on.
Yeah.
The fox, I guarantee this fox has got a nice little family because it took out my entire flock in about a month period.
Yeah. Yep. And it's important to get everybody up and fed and out of the what do they live in? I don't know. Den. Yes.
Yep. And it's one of those, but it's like, so this year I'm going to, so now I've got the pallets, so I'm like going to be like fortressing in my new hens, because I spent a little extra money on these hens, so I don't want them to get predatored.
Yes.
But I also say I'm going to be like, and I think it was really only a problem because the door broke halfway through the winter, which left it so they could be free range, and the fox figured out that, hey, these chickens are free range.
Yeah, and I guess we're sort of seamlessly transitioning into On the Homestead here. So how is that project going?
Well, as I said, I've got about a third of the sand moved, and I'm potentially going to, because the chickens, by the looks of the forecast, it's not going to get below 40 at night for the next week. Mm-hmm. And it's between, so at 8 to 9 weeks, they can handle 50 degree nights. And then every week thereafter, the temp lowers 10 degrees on what they can handle.
Right.
So I'm right at the point where they're at 9-10 weeks, and then we're going to be at 40s at night. So it's actually like the perfect weather for them to go outside.
Nice.
And I'm kind of tired of my house kind of like really smells funky right now.
Oh, I cannot wait to get out of this office right now. Obviously, you can hear the birds, but there's this like fine layer of dust.
And now it's layer. Like,
yeah, it's just getting to me. I should have recorded upstairs in the bedroom, but I didn't think to. Maybe next week.
Yeah. But yeah, man, my project, I mean, it's going well. I've got the pallets ready. I took apart most of the coop, which I sent you that lovely picture.
Yes.
Of my living bed, which is just like, I look at that like layers of just poop and hay and everything. I'm just like, oh, my garden's going to love that stuff.
Yep.
And under where they roost is just like, I'm going to say probably about 9 inches of like caked poop.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I'm not going to really see any poop benefits for a year, at least.
No, but next spring you're going to have like, you're going to be like me in that like good place with that nice manure-y stuff. And I only found it because I took apart the coop yesterday, and like one of the things I had was this like where their yard was a little barrier to keep the snow out. And then as soon as I took that barrier off, like I actually could see like how deep the layers had gotten.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Other than that, how are the plant babies too?
Plant babies are good. My tomatoes are about, I mean, they're about 6 inches right now. The peppers are still short, but they look good.
Yeah.
I really should get some more stuff going right now. But I'm also, I got to go run errands today, and I'm just, I need some. I wish we had a four day work week, because I could use an extra day of the week to get stuff done.
Yeah, well, I can't really. I mean, I'm so tired. Yes. Wait, are you coming to the meeting today? I can't remember where we landed.
I'm probably not. I've got too many projects going right now. Like, I've got to get the lawnmower out, because I decided that I have a wagon for the lawnmower, and I decided wheelbarrowing the sand down to the garden is part of what's kicking my butt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get the lawnmower going, get the wagon situated, because I think I got to replace one of the tires on that and such. And then, I'm going to be hauling sand at some point with all that.
But yeah, I have an extra dump cart if you were coming up here, if you wanted to borrow it for a week. But, so I've got kind of exciting news, I guess. It's kind of dumb. I mean, all right, so baby chicks, they're right here. They're happy. They're healthy. We're pretty sure we have a rooster. The rooster's name is Derek. I don't usually like giving animals people names, but it is a blue copper Moran, so it's sort of a blue steel Derek Zoolander kind of joke. So yes, Derek the rooster, and if it's not Derek the rooster, it'll just still be Derek. Name updates other than that, I think not really anything. I think we've got Chipmunk, we've got Frenchie, we've got that one, and Boogie. So got a lot more names to do. I do have a 4 or 5 year old. I can't remember how old she is, but she's going to volunteer to help me name them. One of our neighbor's kids.
So you have easier naming ability, because you got 11 different chickens.
Yeah.
I have 14 Ayama, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Well, yes. You also have a very, very purposeful flock.
I have a very black flock.
Yeah, but your intention of use with the flock is very, very specific. So you had to make that choice. We got to have a little more fun with it, and we've always just sort of had a collection of different chickens anyway. So why not?
Yeah, and I'm definitely next year going to get more varieties, because I mean I have 14 now. The 30-30-30 rule guarantees that by this time next year I'll probably have 10,
right,
or less.
Yeah,
just because that's how it goes. But I mean, mine are good. I mean, there's a few hybridish ones which are and they have these like kind of markings on either their crest feathers or right on the their shoulders. That are like slightly not, they're not all black. Like those ones will be easy to name. I've got the molted one, which is I call it molted because it started off mostly white with a few black feathers. Mm-hmm. And now it's like my oldest calls it the cow chicken, because it's going to be like white, like just a patchwork of white and black feathers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
Be fun if it was a rooster, and then you could call it Moo the Roo.
Right, something cool like that. But I mean, also, I already have two definite identified roosters, and I don't need more roosters. Although, if I do get more roosters, I'll probably give one to our mutual friend Megan, because she wants more roosters. But she's also she's raising hers. Like, she got a new incubator, and so she's incubating.
Oh wow! And she'll do that eventually.
Yeah, and I'm same. I'll get there eventually too. But yeah, she says she has had 100% success rate with her incubated ones.
Congratulations, Megan. Wow.
Yep.
Last night was the first night we left our plants outside, except for the peppers. Tomatoes stayed out. It was above 40 all night. All of our brassicas stayed out. All of our sweet pea flowers stayed out. They're extremely cold hardy. My chestnut tree stayed out. And so I'm looking forward to getting done here and going and taking a good look at them. Before we start wrapping up, let's talk about, so next week we are talking about these tornadoes that are just this tornado season that is just like unprecedented at this point, right?
Yeah. The very early tornado season. Oklahoma is seeing a lot of storms, as is Nebraska. Are the two places that they're seeing a lot of activity. And we'll have more information on like when the official start of tornado season is, where it affects, and like why this one's a little different. And it's, I mean, it's partially because we're going into a La Nina.
Yeah. So we'll take a in-depth look at tornado season next week. Speaking of next week, so I've been saying for the last few weeks that we were going to be at the extremely popular Norwich Farmers Market on May 11th.
May 11th.
Yeah. Mother's Day weekend. Turns out we're going to be there a week early as well as Mother's Day weekend. So we're going to be there May 4th, opening day for the Norwich Farmers Market. We are so excited and so freaked out. And and then, of course, the Verscher Farmers Market is coming up on the 19th of May. So there's just a whole lot going on. There's a lot of places to find us. Eric will be hanging out with us at the Verscher Market for sure, visiting us in Norwich, I'm sure. I've sort of pledged him to opening day, whether he likes it or not, for the Verscher Market. You know, this is next week. This is, so if you are local and you're going to the Norwich Farmers Market, because there are just so many great vendors from of so many different types, you really should. And please stop by and say hello if you listen to the show. I would love to meet some listeners that I don't already know. That would be so cool.
So I think you're going to have a lot of the hand over foot traffic on that day because Vermonters have a very specific job next Saturday. And I do want to mention the very specific job of Vermonters next Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry I can't participate.
The annual Green Up Day. And, I mean, I am huge about Green Up Day because I have been participating in Green Up Day since I was since the 90s. Since I was a kid growing in elementary school, I have been participating in the Vermont Green Up Days. And it is just the day where we just go around everywhere and pick up all of our trash.
Yeah, it's a state day of service. It's really a very unique thing.
Used to be a lot more there used to be a lot more sponsorships of it, like Ben and Jerry's, Green Mountain Coffee, among others, used to just like sponsor and send stuff to every individual town. But unfortunately, now that those two companies have become unfortunately more corporately owned, as Ben & Jerry's is owned by Unilever and Green Mountain Coffee Roasters is owned by Keurig,
yes. You know, I will say, because I have a friend that works there, some of your more some of the companies that aren't just calling themselves a B Corp but are actually walking the walk, like King Arthur Flour and Mascoma Bank, they do get out there and participate. I don't think they really do anything, but you will see a bunch of King Arthur t-shirts, Green Up Day people out and around that area in Norwich, and Mascoma does all sorts of sponsorships for events.
The good local companies do a lot of stuff. It really did used to be like it really was a celebration of spring in Vermont, and it was just, I mean, I can remember like towns would have like the schools all participated, and we actually we had a sculpture contest where all the trash and stuff we gathered up, somebody local came down and like all the big pieces and built a sculpture out of all the big pieces.
That's so cool.
Yeah, like there used to be all kinds of fun stuff, and like and there still is a lot of people that go out and pick up trash and drop it off at their town garage. And it seems like it's starting to get a little bit of a resurgence to the popularity. It seems like I'm seeing a lot more signs for it out and about. It sounds like Sharon's having a lunch at the school in conjunction with it.
Right on. Yeah, it's a big deal, you know, and I'm sorry I can't participate in it.
Yep.
Oh, but I say, as long as the chicken alarm is going off.
But the thing is, you can participate because you and Meg walk on a regular basis and just go down, get some green bags, and during the week, just pick up trash, and then when you're on your way to the farmer's market on Saturday, just drop it off at the town collection site.
Well, I mean, we pick up trash every time we're out for a walk, so...
You need to have a collection of green bags with you just so you can, like...
Say I did it?
Yes, damn it, yes!
Well, I think that's going to be it for the show today. Again, you can reach out to us, brokenshovel802@gmail.com. We're on Reddit, r/brokenshovel802. Eric's been great about posting our YouTube videos there. I've been posting memes. So come and join that page. Boy. And yeah, come see us over the next couple of weeks. We'll keep people updated on where we are actually going to be out in the world. We'd love to talk to listeners of the show. And next week we are talking tornadoes. So yes. back to the disasters.
Yes, back to disasters. Yes.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Later.
And forage responsibly, you bunch of nerds.
Yes.